I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low. That rough places will be made plain, and that crooked places will be made straight. And that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is our faith that I go back to the south with the faith that will be able to hew out of the mountains of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. That will be the day when all God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring." And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hills of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that. Let freedom ring from Stone Mountain in Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain in Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. When we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every city, from every hamlet, from every state, from every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last, great God Almighty, we are free at last." Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered that message on August 28, 1963. Tomorrow, Monday, January 18th, is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. He lived from January 1929 to April of 1968. Not exactly ancient history. He passed at the ripe old age of 39. Some would refer to as a kid. King is best known for advancing civil rights through nonviolence and civil disobedience, inspired by Christian beliefs and nonviolent activism of Mahatma Gandhi. In many ways, we are better off than we were in the 60s, with lots of laws changed, much more opportunities for minorities and different attitude towards diversity among many people. Yet racial hatred still remains. And it seems unlikely that any type of civil rights movement would be able to root out the kind of hatred that dwells in the hearts of some people. Just as a side note, President Ronald Reagan signed this holiday into law in 1983. The government takes a little while to get things going. They didn't actually celebrate it till 1986. But it wasn't until the year 2000 that that holiday was observed in all 50 United States. I think about the hate. And we need to root out the hate. And if we need to root out something, now farmers, you know, if you have a particular weed in your field and you want to root out that particular weed but not the rest of the crop, you really need to identify the problem. And so I want to identify, I wanted a description of the word hate, and so I went to the dictionary, and it's an intense hostility and aversion, usually deriving from fear, anger, and the sense of injury. Let me say that again. It's intense hostility and aversion, usually deriving from fear, from anger, or the sense of hostility, injury. Boil that down, it means I'm afraid of you. Or it means I'm mad at you. Or it means I think you may have hurt me. The FBI describes a hate crime as a criminal offense against a person or property motivated in part or whole by the offender's bias or hate against your race, religion, disability, sexual orientation, ethnicity, or gender. I hate you because of your race. I'm afraid of you. I hate you because of your religion. I think you hurt me. I hate you because of your disability. I'm mad at you. I hate you because of your sexual orientation. I'm afraid of you. I hate you because of your ethnicity. I think you may have hurt me. I hate you because of your gender. I'm mad at you. I'd like to read a scripture from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Now, I'll be reading from the First Nations version of the Bible. This is the version we attempt to use at Meskwaki Friends Church. First Nations version is a new version of the New Testament in a translation attempting to capture the simplicity and the clarity and the beauty of native storytelling in English while remaining faithful to the original text of the New Testament. I kind of get you up to speed. In Matthew 22, verse 15, it starts out, the separated ones, that's the Pharisees. They began to scheme against Creator sets free. That's Jesus. They sent their followers along with some of the friends of the chief looks brave. Those were Herod's followers. Chief looks brave. They sent him to spy on him. So you kind of got a background where this is set up. They're trying to get the dirt on Jesus. So in Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 through 40, in the First Nations version, it goes like this. When the separated ones, the Pharisees, heard how he had silenced the upright ones, the Sadducees, they put their heads together and came up with a plan. One of them, who was an expert in tribal law, would put him to the test. The expert came to him and said, "Wisdom keeper, which instruction in our tribal law stands first?" "Creator sets free," answered him. "You must love the Great Spirit from deep within. With the strength of your arms, the thoughts of your mind, and the courage of your heart. This is the first and greatest instruction. The second is like the first," he added. "Just you must love your fellow human beings in the same way that you love yourself. The law and the words of the prophets all find their full meaning in these two instructions." So he kind of turned the tables on them. What's the number one instruction in our tribal law? Which one stands first? Well, it always. You have to love God. And follow that up with, you have to love others. More familiar with the NIV, New International Version. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is, love your neighbor as yourself. And that's pretty simple. If that's number one and two, which is really just number one. It's like number one and sub one. That's pretty simple. Why do we make it so complicated? At Meskwaki Friends Church, with our Wednesday night youth program, we have two banners on this side of the church. One of them says love. And right next to it is an identical banner that says love. It's pretty simple. And when we talked to the children, we said, we shared this scripture. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. So let's make it even more simple. All we have to do is love and love. Love God, love others. And as the weeks progressed throughout the that school year, when our program was still active, kids would come in and say, what do these banners stand for? Love God, love others. Exactly. They're listening. Love, not hate. Martin Luther King also had another quote, says, I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. Love's easy. Hate, that's a lot of work. I'm not that ambitious. We at Meskwaki Friends, we start every worship service. After our call to worship and our welcome, we encourage people to read the sign with us. And it says, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you've been, you're always welcome here at Meskwaki Friends Church. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter your cultural background. It doesn't matter if you even believe or not. It doesn't matter where you've been. Maybe you've been to another church and you've got a 25-year perfect attendance Sunday school badge. Remember those when we used to have those? You get that badge for every year of perfect attendance? It doesn't matter if you've been sitting in the bar for the last 40 years. Everyone is welcome at Meskwaki Friends Church. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter what your religion is. It doesn't matter what your disabilities are, your sexual orientation, your ethnicity, or your gender. Everyone is welcome. It doesn't matter what your race is. We have Native Americans. We have Hispanics. We have some Africans in our community. They're all welcome. It doesn't matter what their religion is. They could be Christian. They could be, they don't even know what. They could be traditional. And that's with a capital T, because that's what the Meskwaki called their religion, is traditional. Doesn't matter what their disability is. I think about that. Doesn't matter what your disability is. I don't even care what your extra special ability is. Maybe you have an extra special ability that makes me feel like I have a disability. Doesn't matter of your sexual orientation. It doesn't matter of your ethnicity. Native American. Half Native American. They refer to that as your blood quantum. Did you know the federal government only identifies blood quantum in three things? And that's dogs, horses, and Native Americans. I don't hate you. I don't hate you because I'm not afraid of you. I don't hate you. I'm not mad at you. And I don't hate you because you haven't hurt me, no matter what I think. I'd like to invite Bernie up to share just briefly what's on her heart today.
Hi, everybody. I sent Isaac a picture. Do you got that, Isaac? I just want to keep that up there for you. I'm going to share with you. Pull my ear off. We were asked to share with FUM. In their next writing. I don't even know what that's called. So it was on the 5th of January that Carla J. contacted us. I said, can you share with your ministry? She said, who you are, who you minister to, what you're doing, and is there anything exciting that you want to share? And I said, of course. Man, we love to share the ministry with the world. Thank you for asking. And then January 6th came. I don't need to get into politics. I don't want to go to politics. So I just want to rest your heart easy there. But we know what happened to our Capitol on that day. So I was just torn apart. Because, I don't know if you noticed, but we're a certain race that live amongst the Meskwaki people. And living with the Meskwaki people, we have gained added filters in the way that we see things. Mac and I have become red on the inside, and we are white on the out. So when things like that happen, things get dredged up in our friends. And I want to say, not just the Meskwaki, because Mac and I have walked the United States and met so many other beautiful people from the Native Nations. You know, we have friends out there in South Dakota. Our Jean is from North Dakota. She's Sioux. We have people down in the Navajo. What is our friend that we met down in Albuquerque? Hopi? Was he? No, he's not Hopi. He's
Zuni.
Yes. You know, and so Pocahontas out in Virginia, you know. So we have added these filters that have come upon our eyes. So we don't see just as white people anymore. And it's painful. It's painful to process. And so when we were watching that unfold, it was like Mac put on one of his high intense action adventure movies, and I was like, just turn it off. But I couldn't turn off this movie. And then when I went to social media where our friends are, this turmoil is regurgitated. So I'm sitting there thinking, what am I going to write? So I'm going to share a little bit. Living in two worlds adds layers of processing such utter devastation. Being white, living amongst the Meskwaki, we have gained awareness of how the happenings of the Capitol, what happens on Capitol Hill, can be filtered amongst them, mostly in pain of the past. It's PTSD. But who can blame them? Who can blame the Meskwaki? Who could blame any of our other Native American brothers and sisters? Dealings with officials in the past have caused broken trusts that have not been restored. We as non-natives might say, this is a long time ago. Why does this keep coming up? But the fact is, when radical storms the Capitol in the United States, it brings back painful truths, such as Standing Rock, North Dakota, the pipeline protest that was November 2016. When law enforcement used tear gas, rubber bullets, concussion grenades, and water cannons as demonstrators at the temperatures dropped below freezing. Also, when the private security guards deployed dogs on the unarmed protectors of their land and water. I want to share with you a side note. The word equity. Not equality. Equity. The quality of being fair and impartial. The inequity of treatment is not ancient history in native country. And it shouldn't be for us if we trust, if we truly walk side by side with our native brothers and sisters. I struggled with these questions, Carla asked. I turned to my sister-in-law, Jean Dulesky, with my heavy heart of not being ashamed of my white heritage as a woman, a white woman, living in Indian country, trying to find a balance of honoring and respecting both worlds. Jean, y'all know Jean was a missionary in Ramallah, well, most of you know. And she worked with the Meskwaki people for years. She wisely reminded me as a follower of Jesus. Here is her quote. Our Quaker heritage is walking alongside and listening and taking action when led, as you are both doing. Simplicity is found. In quotes, my quote is, simplicity is found. Thanks, sis. She reminded me. So simply, answering Carla's questions. My husband, Pastor Mac McDonald, and I walk in fellowship of the Spirit with the Meskwaki, the Red Earth people, the Sac and Fox of the Mississippi of Iowa. We serve all ages, no matter their religion. In living the life and example of Jesus Christ, and always pointing to the Father, the Creator. We meet for worship on Saturday nights at 5-ish. That's burning time, not Indian time. We gather for a family recovery meal on Sunday or on Monday nights at 6 p.m., followed by our AA meeting. We care for the beautiful 35 acres of land and the buildings that house the ministry. Today, actually it was a couple days ago, we will sit in a traditional longhouse with the mourning family of a dear Meskwaki friend. We lost her to cancer. Mostly, we love deeply, living respectfully amongst the beautiful people God called us to. The Meskwaki. I end it with Gadabi Gachimanadu. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God, and also thank you for allowing us to share some of our heart and stories from where we come from. Thank you so much.